The doctor has arrived. Good morning, doctor.
You know, Mother Nature can always get the best of you.
That's right. Very true.
I live out 2 miles south of Drenthe, and I started here about an hour ago, and have an 800-foot driveway, and it had 2-3-foot drifts in it, and oh, man, I had to blow my driveway to get out. So anyway, I'm here. And
well, good.
Good morning, good. And it's nothing as nice as white Christmas if it's cold.
Yeah. Right? I think we overdid the white Christmas this year.
We did.
Good morning, talk. Okay. You want to talk to the doctor this morning? He is here, and our line is open for you.
Well, Duke, you know, a lot's going on right now about medicine, and it's really not about so much about what kind of medicines we should take for things and what's the new things happening in medicine, because science will continue to find new ways in medicine.
Right.
There's some great things on the horizon, but the real problem is what's going to happen with medicine that you and I are going to be subjected to or privileged with or penalized with. Guess what?
Yeah.
I got an article here, or one of the periodicals, of Medical Economics, and the title is Obamacare's Most Vexing Questions. And there's just debates going on, and you don't know who to believe. Yeah.
No, you don't.
It seems like politics today that I'm sure that there were things said that they weren't true in the past, but like now it's above board and nobody cares whether they tell the truth. And when there's a problem, nobody tells what's going on. And
now so we have a call coming
we're
in.
We have a problem with that. So.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Once again, I'm calling about snow removal on your roof and deck. Averaging about over 3 foot of snow on people's roofs that were...
Okay, you want to give me your number? Because I got the doctor on right now.
Sure. Number is 616-886-6649.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the doctor. I drink quite a lot of tea, just black tea, not hot. It's cold and unsweetened tea. I'm a diabetic, but I seem to drink a lot of that, and somebody says that's bad for your kidneys because I've had kidney stones already, and I don't want those again.
There you go.
But is tea bad for your kidneys? Will they damage if you drink a lot of tea? I'm talking, I'd probably drink a gallon of tea a day.
Well, just remember that tea and coffee have caffeine, and they have other type of acids in it too that the body has to clear, and certainly caffeine increases the blood pressure. It increases the perfusion of fluids through the kidneys, and it also increases the loss of fluid in the kidneys. So the long term, we know that coffee drinkers and tea drinkers, if you have good kidneys, that's usually not of a problem unless you overdo it, but being a diabetic, you do have an increased risk, and also
right.
That we do know that heavy caffeine coffee tea drinkers can have more of an increase in the incidence of bladder cancer. So the cancer is coming from those, the tannic acid and other acids in coffee and tea are a risk. Being a diabetic, too, when you're going a lot, whenever you eat, your sugar soars up to maybe 200 or so in the next hour or two, and then it comes down. And so during that period of time, you're dumping out a lot of fluid, too. So caffeine, coffee, tea, and diabetics does increase the risk of you getting dehydrated and draining more fluid. And with time, depending on how much you take and how well you control your diabetes, it does have an impact on the health of the kidneys itself and the function.
What kind of drinks do you prefer? I did have bladder cancer too.
That's not helped by your. Just think, whether you believe in an omnipotent being or whether you believe in Mother Nature, if we were supposed to eat tea or coffee or Coke, that's what our oceans and rivers would be full of.
Right.
So
right.
We are designed to function on water.
Water.
And it's anything that's not water has something in it. And the question is what it has in it, whether it's tea or coffee or Coke or whatever, what it has in it is the question, is that healthy for us or not? And there's a lot of data showing that chronic and heavy drinkers of caffeinated beverages and sugar beverages do have some risk statistically, and that's individually that may change. We all know people that had a lot of bad health habits but lived to be 90, but they had the right grandparents. So you have bad genetics.
Okay, well, thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll let somebody else get through. Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
You too.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
How about lemon water? Putting fresh lemon squeezed in water. Is there any downside of that?
Well, we don't have a lot of data on long-term use of lemons, for instance. In general, most of the fruits are healthy for us. It's in a diabetic, certainly it's related to how much sugar is in the fruit. See, when we talk about things like lemon or any of these kind of drinks, it's very difficult to find long-term studies. Scientists don't like studies that take years to determine which is the best thing for us because they don't get a lot of publications. So most of the things we have when it comes to diet or drinks or any of those kind of supplements are very short-term, and a lot of them are not really scientifically significant in a lot of ways. And the other thing is, for all of us, we all have a different risk factor. We all have different parents and grandparents and DNA. That determines how much risk we can take as far as our health. So if you have a bad family history, bad pedigree, it's always wise to be very careful of what you do as far as risk. But lemons in water, I don't see and I don't know of any high risk for that, except in a diabetic if they put sugar or something in the lemon, then it would might be a high risk for a diabetic with time, not just one drink, but if they make a habit of it every day.
Good morning. Online with the doctor.
Good morning. My girlfriend's a diabetic, and she likes her coffee. How about decaffeinated? Would that be any better?
Well, yeah. What keeps us addicted to coffee, tea, or like cigarettes is the nicotine in cigarettes and the caffeine in coffee. How they react is they increase our adrenaline. They stimulate what we call the sympathoadrenal mechanism, and so all of our fight and flight. So we get a buzz from those, and that increases blood pressure, increases blood flow. But there are other things in coffee and cigarettes and tea that have some detrimental effect. And those are the acids in the drinks and certainly the tars and the carcinogens in smoking. So when we are diabetic, or if you're a person that you want to say, well, what's the best thing for me, always remember that we're designed, our body doesn't take the tea and put it in the cells. The body takes the water from the tea and it puts it in our cells and our brain cells. It uses the water. So the question is, of the other stuff that's in those drinks, are they healthy or are they not? There are some teas that have been shown to have some antioxidants, like green teas, but certainly green tea without caffeine. But some of the teas don't have a real high concentration of caffeine. So it has to do with how much you drink, how concentrated it is. I happen to didn't start drinking coffee till I was started. I switched to medicine. I wanted to stay up at night, but today I cannot drink a full regular concentration of coffee. Whenever I get coffee, I dilute it about 3/4 with water, so it's really not much of a coffee except it tastes
right.
Like it. So it all has to do with how much do you drink, how concentrated is it, what kind of coffee you use, and how much sugar and milk you put in it.
Good morning. You're online with the doctor. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Yes, doctor. I wondered, people take marijuana, they claim, for their pain. What chemicals is it in marijuana that relieves pain?
Well, just think of anything, and this is a good question, because we're talking about the marijuana is getting this big deal. We just heard an advertisement. I was coming in here, I was listening, and you just talked about a local pharmacy that's not going to sell cigarettes anymore. What makes us think that marijuana is okay to smoke, but the other are not? We're not going to sell cigarettes to people who want it, but we'll sell marijuana. And the other thing is that whenever we have anything, whether it's alcohol, marijuana, caffeine, you name it, other drugs that mess up our mind. When they affect our mind, our ability to respond, affect our reaction time, affect our recall, as well as our just general mental awareness, that is not a medicine that is good long-term. Nobody has shown that marijuana is good long-term. In fact, long-term marijuana always creates problems. But this is a case, the marijuana question right now is going along the same as alcohol back in the 20s and 30s. You know, you could argue alcohol, I think that it's ridiculous to argue on that basis of what alcohol or nicotine or marijuana is, because alcohol kills more people than any of the others. So you got to really look at how much risk do you have. And marijuana, certainly in certain patients that have cancer, that have problems with...
I feel that doctors should make more statements on marijuana, what they can do to in long term.
Well, that's true of anything. The two worst things we have for killing people today, as far as amount of money that it costs our country, the most biggest thing, more than anything else, is food, the addiction to food, and the addiction to alcohol. Those two, we spend more money on those two things in the illnesses and the consequences to family and death. Nobody kills somebody smoking a cigarette going down the road. But they do it eating alcohol. So the consequence to society, we choose what kind of poisons we like. And wise people, stay away from all of them. People that get addicted to them, it's same with medications, legal drugs. Legal narcotics are a high addiction today, and yet we have people that now have a right to them because they have pain, and so we as doctors try to keep that down, but... people demand them, and they get them. And so whether you're talking about legal drugs that mess up our mind or street drugs that mess up our mind or our foods that mess up our mind, marijuana, in the long run, those of us who are back in college in the 60s and that know that marijuana long-term is not going to prove to be a benefit to society. It's an individual addiction.
That's true.
The individual addiction like we all have. Some are addicted to chocolate. Some are addicted to marijuana.
Okay. Well, I had OxyContin after surgery, and I asked to be taken off of it because I was hallucinating.
Well, we have pain clinics, but the sad thing now, pain clinics, many of the people going to pain clinics now are addicted to pain meds. They can't get off from them.
Okay, got another call here. Good morning, you're online with the doctor. No, I guess not. Okay, let's take a quick look at the weather here. The weather brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant, now featuring Eggs Oscar Benedict. Have to say that right. Okay, and the weather, winter weather advisory to 12 noon for Allen and Ottawa County. Snow showers today, steady temperatures in the low 20s, and tonight snow showers a low of 8, and tomorrow a chance of a few snow showers with a high of 16. Right now we're looking at 18 degrees here in the Tulip City. And we have another call coming in. Yes. Good morning. You're online with the doctor. And I guess we missed that one.
You know, Juke, one of the things people are wondering about, what's the impact going to be on us? And really, it's coming down now to we all know, how's it going to get paid for? You know, people there, and certainly we're worried about how do we get our insurance, especially those that have lost it, but the cost of everything is going to go up, and I'll just give you one example. There are medicines, and I can name three of them, that were pennies, or say 20, 25 cents a pill since the 70s. Those medicines now may go up to be more than $1 to $2 a pill. They're taking old medicines that are generic, and they're just change a little bit. They'll put them in a capsule instead of a tablet, and they'll call them a new medicine, and now they get the high price for them. And that's how they're going to gain the money from taxes and everything else to help pay. So all of our cost is going to go up, it might be affordable, but only to the government.
Good morning. You're online with our guest. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Just fine.
What can I help you with?
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I was wondering, someone told me that watermelon was too high sugar for a diabetic. Is that true? Is that worse than any other fruit?
Well, you know, you can when you taste certain watermelon, you can taste that it does have sugar. It does have a sweetener in it, so it's a it has some type of a natural sugar. Well, anything that has a sugar type of a effect from it, that's coming from fruit or elsewhere, will increase that demand on the body. And if you're not making enough insulin, that when sugar, see, the problem with sugar is that in diabetics with sugar, when the sugar is high, it draws fluid out of our cells. Again, it's a high concentration, and so when it goes through the kidney, if it's more than 160, it drags out fluid with it, because the kidney can only protect the absorption of water from the kidney if it's under 160 blood sugar. If it gets over that, you spill out water with it. That's why diabetics urinate more. And so when we eat anything that's sweet and we overload it, no matter where it comes from, that will result in more urination, more loss of fluids, and more dehydration. And then that has an impact, because we know the problem in diabetics is the blood vessels when we are not controlled. Our brain cells and everything else take a beating long term when we do not control our blood sugars when we're diabetic. And so anytime we overeat anything that has sugar in it, it increases our glucose. In a diabetic, always has a risk, no matter where it came from. Some are worse than others, but watermelon, occasional watermelon, like anything else, occasional watermelon or occasional other food is not a big risk. It's our problem, even in this country with our overweight problem. It's not our holiday meal. It's not your Sabbath meal. It's not your birthday meal. It's what we do 24/7 the other 6 days of the week. That is our problem, and that's so if we eat well and you have occasional watermelon, it's not a big risk statistically, but it's
a friend told me that they can't eat watermelon because that's got too much sugar. He can eat other stuff, but not watermelon.
Well, if it is, he'll know, because when he eats watermelon, of course there's water in it, when your blood sugar goes too high as a diabetic, you urinate more.
Okay.
So that's the issue.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Yep,
good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Morning. I'd like to ask the doctor, somebody was telling me the other day, I have a banana every day and an apple. Somebody was saying if you eat bananas that are too green, they're way too high in sugar, because I'm a type 2,
okay.
And I said I don't hardly understand that, why that would be.
Well, first of all, the more the banana is ripened, the more sugar it has concentration in it.
Oh, okay.
But,
just the other way around.
But the thing is that, you know, a banana a day, there's not enough sugar in a banana a day to hurt you.
Oh, okay.
That's not where we get our problem with sugars and that. Not in a banana and most fruit. It's the other things we eat that are filled with sugars.
Now, another thing, what makes a guy's stomach rumble? You're not hungry, but it'll just rumble when you're in a quiet place or like in church or something, and your stomach starts rumbling. What makes that?
Well, there's a lot of things that can, but first of all, if you're in church, for instance, I would guess that if you're going to church, you probably don't eat a good breakfast then. You're going to church, and you might eat a little bit, maybe not, but the other days you may eat breakfast. Well, then if you don't eat, if you're normally eating on time at a certain time and you don't, your body is still prepared to get the meal. For instance, I did studies in my graduate work in dogs, for instance. If you feed a dog the same time every day, an hour before it eats, or before you feed it, it'll start secreting stuff into the bowels, and the bowels will get active preparing for the meal. We're no different. If you feed your dog in the morning, it'll wake you up on Saturday and Sunday if you don't get up. But if you feed it, you and I, if you eat breakfast and you skip a day, then your bowel is going to respond to that. Same as if you eat late at night, you'll get hungry late at night, routinely. So we set up our own biorhythm to when our body wants food.
Okay.
The other thing is that some people have irritable bowel. If you have a lot more bowel movements than one a day, and if they're loose sometime and they fluctuate, that can do it. And the other problem is, as fast food eaters now, and our whole routine of eating now has been changed by vending machines in our workplace, in our school, and our fast food, and grabbing something you can just zip off the top and eat it. So we no longer eat breakfast, go to school, eat at lunch, eat at 4 o'clock. We eat anytime we want, and the body has no idea when.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, 395-1450. We can take one more quick question. Doctor?
Well, you know, Juke, I was talking about the price of drugs.
Yes.
One of the pharmacists told me recently, I went in to talk to him, there's one medicine's been used for irritable bowel, like this guy was talking, since the 70s, and it used to be about 20 cents a pill. It's going to go up to over $1 a pill now. It's been a generic. The other is an antibiotic that he would pay $200 for 1,000. This is the pharmacist, and he told me that after 1st of February or so, that he may have to pay more than $1,000 now for 1,000. So the cost of the pharmacists are going up, and what's the purpose of that? Because they can.
Well, yeah. Doctor, we're out of time. I thank you very much for coming in this morning and getting in here through the snow.